There's so much good music happening all around Charlotte, but they'll get so much of it in one night from a Tosco music party. It's kind of a buffet, if you will. I mean, it's there's a wonderful quote we got years ago that said, think of Tosco music party as walking into Ben and Jerry's and saying, I'd like a spoonful of everything, please. And it's kind of like that musically.
I'm Joni Deutsch, and from WFAE in Charlotte, this is Amplifier, the music podcast where we shine a light on the Charlotte music scene. Because Charlotte is more than just a banking city or a football city. So each weekday during the month of September, we're going to explore the people, places, and things that help define the Queen City's crown sound. And today, we'll hear from the guitarist turned music leader who transforms theaters into living room jam band sing-alongs. That's coming up on Amplifier.
Amplifier. And then the beat will drop.
Amplifier.
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 Can you introduce yourself and what you do?
John Tosco, guitar teacher, founder of Tosco Music.
Now, John, this series actually is about Charlotte musicians. And while you have been based in Charlotte for the last few decades, you are not originally from Charlotte.
I grew up in Fayetteville, and my dad retired from Fort Bragg, and I have Yankee parents who just fell in love with the South, and so I was there until high school ended and moved to Charlotte 35 years ago.
So tell me about your musical childhood in Fayetteville.
I don't really remember asking to take guitar lessons, but one of the nuns at the Catholic school I went to started offering guitar lessons, and next thing I knew, I was signed up for the guitar class, and I actually shared a guitar with my older sister. She dropped out pretty quickly, and it stuck for me. And that was when I was in the third grade, and I had already seen the Beatles on TV on the Ed Sullivan Show. It was one of my earliest childhood memories, and had already been playing a cardboard guitar, singing along with the record, the Beatles' She Loves You. I don't know, it was something that I just connected with in a very subconscious way. And I was very lucky to later, not too much later, in my preteens, find an amazing guitar teacher who really exposed me to many styles of music. He had been a student of Andre Segovia, and he had also gone to the Berklee School of Music in Boston. So he had everything from the classical to the jazz world. And yeah, it kind of took off from there.
So after picking up a guitar and being inspired to become the next McCartney.
I don't know about that.
What did you do with that? Where did you go from there?
Well, I grew up playing a lot of popular music like the Beatles, being a kid with an acoustic guitar, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and John Denver, then later James Taylor and Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. So I was just playing guitar all the time. It was really a struggle for me to get through high school. I was always one of those A's or F's kids, you know, depending on what my interest was. And I remember there was a guidance counselor at my high school who encouraged me not to drop out of high school and hit the road like I wanted to do, but to major in music. And I ended up going to Berklee School of Music in Boston. And it, again, another huge thing in my life because it opened me up to so much more. So, I was in Boston for a few years after high school. I was there for 2.5 years. And then I moved out to Colorado. I had a friend who was living out there who said, you should come out here and check out the music scene because I was looking for a way to make a living with my music. And I was, again, very lucky and met some musicians who had a band already, and we kind of took that band and kind of morphed it into something new. And it was called the Wild River Band. And we were, for 3 years, I think we had 2 weeks off, based out of Denver, but playing all around that area. Mostly bars, but we had a few big gigs too. And that was a country rock band. After being out there for 3 years, it got to the point where, as much as I loved music, it became a job, because it was literally 5-6 nights a week, every week. And in those days, bands would go to a bar or a club and set up and play for the whole week. Each week we'd be at a different place. So when it gets to be like a job, oh yeah, I got to go play again tonight, you know, because you're playing to get people on the dance floor. And even though you might get some good moments in there, it was tough. And so at that point, my first son was born in Denver. And when it was time to have a family, it was either going to be the rock and roll life or a family life. It was hard to really do the two because I was gone so much and you know, rolling in when he was waking up, you know, that type of thing. So came back to North Carolina, but did not want to go back to Fayetteville, and instead moved to Charlotte because I wanted something that would help me keep my music going and be able, at that time I thought I might still perform. And that was 35 years ago. And I realized I didn't want to find another band. I started into guitar teaching. I had done teaching earlier, but I really got into it full time. It was going to be my day job, and it still is, and something I really love doing. And so to be able to get that satisfaction of playing music, I decided to just do it with my friends, and it started in my living room. And that's how we started these Tosco music parties. It was almost every month I had musician friends and their friends come and families. And it just something that grew organically over the years. Oh, Tosco's having another music party. And it just kept growing to the point where we, you know, are where we are now over 3 decades.
So I want to take a little bit more time to talk about that first Tosco music party or what is, I don't know, the kind of living room session Tosco music party. I mean, really, where did the idea come about?
It was a way for me to just enjoy playing and to get friends who played music. I wanted to hear them and I wanted to jam with them. And so we would, and that's kind of how the sing-along idea was born too. It was, we would have a little song circle. Everybody would take their turn doing a song. And then we would do a Beatles song or a James Taylor song that everyone would sing together. It got to the point where people would start bringing lyric sheets. Back in those days, you had to type them up on a typewriter. and we had 3-ring binders, and we would insert them. And every time we got together, there was always another few songs that we would insert in alphabetically into the binders. And so we had our sing-along books. And, you know, my taste in music is varied. I had done a little bit of all styles of music through my whole time of playing guitar since I was a kid. And so I invited jazz musicians and bluegrass musicians and everything in between to come and play. And people would bring their kids, and there would be a talented kid that would play the piano or the guitar or something. And it just was like, this is really special. There was some kind of, it was a community gathering, first with a small group of friends, could be, you know, it started probably 10 or 15 people. And it got to the point where it was so many you couldn't fit into my living room. We had to find somebody else's home that was bigger. And but people, it was a very beautiful thing of coming together for the right reason. It was about, you know, just loving music and singing together and playing music together. So it was the opposite of what I was experiencing in the band in Colorado. And I was like, ah, this is it. This is what I want to do. I've got my day job of teaching, but when I play music, it's not a gig for me. It's not a job. It's just because I love it. And there's something very special about that for everyone who has come and been part of it. And even now that we're doing the same kind of thing, although it's not whoever shows up plays like it used to be originally, It's still very much a living room feeling, even with 1,200 people at the Knight Theater.
Welcome to the Tosco Music Party. I'm John Tosco. I'm your host. How's everyone? Well, this is our living room tonight. This is our party. Turn around and introduce yourself to your new friends right behind you.
It's very casual. We still do the sing-alongs. We do about a half a dozen sing-alongs throughout the night. And it doesn't matter if you're an amateur who is just starting out or if you're a professional touring musician, because we get both on the same stage. It's everybody does one or two songs. It's not about you. It's about us sharing that music together.
So I want to kind of dissect the 30-year, almost 30-year span between when you first started Tosco Music in your living room to this point where now it's at the Knight Theater, to a theater capacity of 1,200. I know along the way you had the Tosco Music Party setup evolved through different venues. I mean, what, at one point you were at the Evening Muse in Charlotte, and where else was the party along the way?
Well, we actually, we went from different people's homes to an apartment clubhouse, and then we actually had to rent a venue big enough for about probably 100 people that were showing up at that point. And we rented a VFW building, and we got a friend who brought out a PA system, and that was like a big deal. Oh, no, now we're going to have microphones, and it's going to lose its magic. You know, there were people that were worried about that, and we took a collection at the door to help pay for renting the hall and to give some money to the guy that brought the PA system. And then we were at the Neighborhood Theater. And then after that, we were for a short period of time, and then we spent about 4 years at the Great Aunt Stella Center, which is 400 seats. And it was about that time, 1999, we became a nonprofit, a 501c3, because it was about bringing the community together through the music and connecting musicians and giving performance opportunities for young performers. And we also started a music scholarship program and started doing quite a bit of community outreach, playing at senior centers. And so that all started around that time, about 20 years ago. And then from the Great Aunt Stella Center, we ended up moving to McGlowan Theater at Spirit Square, which is 700 seats. We were there for a number of years. Then we moved on and grew on to Halton Theater at CPCC, which is 1,000 seats. And now for the last 4 years, we've been at Knight Theater and a resident company of Blumenthal Performing Arts. Now, all along the way, every time we kind of grew and moved, and it was without an intention. It wasn't like, what's our business plan? How can we get bigger? We want to get into a bigger venue. It's just we kept filling up the seats, and we're like, well, let's get a place that can hold the number of people who want to come. But people were sometimes worried that the bigger these crowd audiences became, the we were going to lose something about it. Or I would hear, you know, these music parties are great with all these people, but I miss the days when it was in your living room. So when the Evening Muse opened 17 years ago, that was the time some friends of mine are the owners, and that's when we started doing our monthly open mic there. So we never really did the music parties there. We do the open mics there, and we've been doing that every single month for 17 years since they've been open. Usually it's on the first Wednesday of every month. And that is obviously whoever shows up plays. Everybody does one song. We start off the evening with a sing-along for about 20 minutes. And then we go through the performers, and there are many, many young people coming out for that. So there are a lot of open mics in Charlotte, and they're all great. But ours, one thing that's unique besides the fact we do the sing-alongs is that it's very family-oriented. Many teenagers and preteens will come out, as well as adults, and a lot more variety than you might see at your average open mic. So we have plenty of people with guitars, but we'll also have an a cappella group or a trumpet player or a kid with a banjo. So there's a little bit of everything in there. It's kind of fun.
For some listeners, this might be their first introduction to Tosco Music. And maybe they've never attended one. Maybe they've never heard of it before. So I kind of want you to give us a breakdown of when a Tosco Music Party happens at the Knight Theater with a capacity of 1,200 people in the audience. what that is like for someone who comes in, sits down, and waits for the show to start.
Well, we always hear, oh, this is totally different than I expected a concert. I didn't expect an experience. So the shows are always on a Saturday night at 7:30, and each show has about 15 to 20 acts performing, one or two songs each. In every show, we will have a wide variety of styles of music, from jazz to classical to bluegrass, folk music, everything. A little something for everyone. Three shows a year, fall, winter, and spring, where performers mostly do their own original music. And then every June, we do a Beatles tribute show. We've been doing that for the last 15 years. So it's the same format, but it's all Beatles songs. And that's our most popular show. And then every December, we do a holiday show. So we'll have Christmas and Hanukkah songs, even some Kwanzaa, and again, the same format.
When you put on these shows, you get a number of performers on stage. Some listeners may recognize the performer names. There's Rachel Platten, who sings Fight Song. You've had on Anais Mitchell, and you even had on the Avett Brothers.
This is one act. I just told these guys that we've got Scott and Seth Avett and Bob Crawford on the bass. And I actually just met them tonight in person, but we've been trying for a long time to get the Avett brothers in here, especially before they become too big. This is what I was just telling them backstage. I was like, I have a feeling of any of the acts, and they're all these acts are just wonderful. If there's any act I think that we're going to say, hey, I saw them at the Tosco Music Party at Spirit Square. Yeah, what a dynamic group. Folks, I am so proud to introduce you to the Avett Brothers.
There's also a lot of up-and-comers, those emerging acts. I mean, they might be as young as, what, 5, 6, mm-hmm. 7?
Yes.
That have tremendous talent on them, which will only grow over time. The way Tosco works, a person could sit in the audience and see any range of genres, and that's could be opera, it could be R&B, it could be folk, Indian, anything. And I wonder, as the founder of this show, John, what the process is like for you to figure out how to arrange this lineup for a show? Because mm-hmm. on your website, you allow anyone to submit their music.
Well, I just look for talent. I don't only schedule music that is my favorite music, although I have a wide variety of tastes. And we've gotten to the point now, after all these years, that we have quite a few submissions from performing artists, especially singer-songwriters and bands. So what I look for that's a challenge are the very young, talented performers, very young kids and seniors, and also unusual acts. And we also have had so many people write into us and say, oh, you got to check out this spoon lady, the lady who plays the spoons in Asheville, or this guy who plays the musical saw, you know, who's also a magician. We get leads like that, you know, and those are the ones I'm looking for that are harder to find, but they add, you know, a little bit of wonder to the shows. And so it all comes together, but it's all about when we put it together, it's all about trying to bring as many different styles in one evening as possible so that you're just like, wow, this is just so much great talent, but also so much diversity.
But they can only play one or two songs each, mm-hmm. even the Avid Brothers.
Right.
Why just the two songs or the one song each?
Well, it's really two reasons. It's one, because it's not about the artist. I mean, we're happy to promote what gigs they might have coming up or their CD that just came out. And they do sell their CDs during intermission and after the show. But it's not about promoting them. It's about sharing their music. It's about being very inclusive with the audience. So that's done mostly by the sing-alongs where the audience stands up. We have the words in the program and we bring the lights up. It's kind of like church. You stand up and we all sing, you know, James Taylor together or whatever the song might be. And it's also about just feeling like it's a living room party. You know, it is a music party. So it comes together that way.
Save me from myself. You got my back when I need help. There's no one else in the world. You will always be my girl.
The most common submission we get is the singer-songwriter. And there's, you know, the ones that stand out are not just the ones who are super talented, but the ones where, without sounding corny, you really see their heart coming through their music. They're just, you know, we've had even a teenager with doing an original song that they're just, it's so heartfelt. It's just the emotion comes through, and that connection is exactly what we're looking for, what I'm looking for to share with as many people as possible. And that's what I tell performers who are scheduled, once they are scheduled. I always say, I know there's nervousness on stage, but just try to be yourself and connect and be truthful. And when you sing and share from your heart, it all comes together. And, you know, I host the show throughout the evening. I'm introducing the acts. I lead the house band. And I don't think of myself as a singer. I'm a guitarist. But I love to sing. The sing-alongs are great. And I don't have a prepared script. I might have a particular point I want to make introducing a performer. But the only way I can relax and enjoy it is to just be myself and just feel like, you know what, I'm not perfect, but I'm just going to be honest and open. And the audience, I believe, supports me in that. And they're like, I have a relationship with the audience because I'm just being honest with them and open. And so, yeah, it's a big love fest in a way.
Coming up, John on the future of Tosco music parties and how they might just live on a yellow submarine. That's right after this break on Amplifier. Hey, Amplifier listeners. If you're a fan of daily podcasts, like this one, then you might also be a fan of daily news headlines. And as it just so happens, WFAE can deliver those straight to your email inbox each morning, right on time for your coffee break. WFAE's daily email newsletter is The Frequency. And it's your one-stop shop for the latest news headlines and podcast updates. Stay in the know. Subscribe to the Frequency email newsletter for free on wfae.org/frequency. And while you do that, let's get back to our interview. I want to ask about the Charlotte music scene when it comes to your initiatives. Do you know what a breakdown would be of how many Charlotte area artists have been able to play at one of the Tosca music shows?
The majority are local. It's amazing how much talent we have right here in this city, in this area. We have a few that will drive in from nearby, like Asheville, but I would say about maybe a third at the most are touring musicians, but the majority are local.
Mm-hmm. You've been programming these shows for decades now. Again, the anniversary of Tosca Music Party is this September for the 30th. And I wonder what your perception has been of the music scene over those years.
I mean, there's the growth of just the numbers. There used to be just a couple of open mics. Now there are many. There are a lot more performance opportunities for musicians in the area. But besides the numbers, you know, the internet has a lot to do with people's tastes broadening. And I think that has been a healthy thing for this community as well as all over the country. But I've seen it grow in numbers and in support. You know, there's people are willing to take chances and check out different things now that they wouldn't have normally before. And so it's a good thing.
But you only do a few of these a year. You only do a few of the Tosca music shows a year. So I'm wondering, with 2020 being the 100th music party
Yes.
that you're putting on, between now and then, what plans do you have for this?
Well, it'll be June in 2020. That will be our 100th music party. It's crazy to think about that. We are continuing to expand our programming, and as I mentioned earlier, our most popular show is the Beatles show that we do every June, the Beatles tribute. And in this coming June of 2019, we're going to expand to a full weekend of events around the Beatles tribute. So we're planning on having a Friday night concert of one band, a Beatles tribute band. I won't say who yet, but it's a big band, a national act. And then we'll have our regular Saturday night Beatles tribute that we do at the Knight Theater every year. And then we will have 3 days at the Marriott uptown, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Will basically be like a Beatles convention, Beatles festival. We're going to have a whole floor of ballrooms. We're actually going to have 10 different ballrooms in the Marriott. We'll have a main stage room, so there'll be music all day long on the main stage. We'll have a marketplace with memorabilia and vinyls and CDs, and we'll have panel discussions. We'll have guest speakers, authors of Beatles books, and we'll have all kinds of fun stuff like trivia contest and costume contest and name that tune. And we're going to have a whole kids area built around Yellow Submarine and Octopus's Garden. And I went to the convention that they do, the Beatles Festival that happens in New York and Chicago. I went to each of those in the last year and a half, and made a lot of contacts and kind of seen what they've been doing for 40 years. There's nothing like this in the Southeast that I can find. And we're going to kick it off next year. It's really, really exciting. We're already getting so much great reception around it. And I'm just so excited about it.
What does Tosca music mean to you? This whole umbrella of events and artist engagement, community engagement, what does it mean for you and what you're wanting to accomplish?
Well, it doesn't matter if it's a music party at the Knight Theater with 1,200 people and national acts as well as local and regional acts, or when we go play at senior centers, which we do an average of twice a month. We're playing music from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, the songs that they're familiar with. In all of those experiences, there is that human connection through the music. The power of music is incredible, and it doesn't matter your politics or your religion or your age. It's a human connection through the music. And that's what it means to me, what Tosca music really is all about, no matter what the setting is or what the venue is. And I've been so fortunate to have been able to do this for most of my life. And it's regardless of what we're doing and how we're growing, that's what we're going to keep our focus on.
The Tosco Music Party celebrates its 30th anniversary in 2018. Find out more and check out their live event schedule on toscomusic.org. Amplifier is a production of WFAE. This episode was written and produced by me, Joni Deutsch. Our associate producer is Cole Del Charco. Our editors are Greg Collard and Jadon Marshall. Our theme music is provided by Dirty Art Club. You can share your favorite Charlotte music recommendations right now on social media. Just follow and tag me. I'm at A Change of Tune. New episodes of Amplifier drop each weekday this September, so make sure to subscribe to the Amplifier podcast on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, and wherever you find podcasts. For more Charlotte music chats, including playlists and even a Charlotte music map, visit wfae.org/amplifier. Until next time, I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.